Welcome to Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray and Tay.
And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this fabulous Monday. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join us? It's time for some football. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. I'm seeing some predictions, Ray. So, you know, we might have to see what some of these fans are saying for the college football preview. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at Twitter, Facebook us, YouTube. We've got some great videos at YouTube. And, hey, man, let's jump right into it. We got, you know, a lot of exciting talk before we get to the preview. Let me ask you, how impressed were you in a Little League World Series? South Korea wins the championship. But the boys from Chicago, Jackie Robinson West, U.S. champs, took down Nevada and tried to make a comeback against South Korea. So kudos to them, and sorry they lost, but they're winners, man. They were awesome. Great story.
Yeah, look, it's always fun to watch. I thought the Nevada team was going to win, so I was way off. But good for them. These kids work real hard, and it's fun. You know, and it's also fun to see at the end – how the kids from Chicago and the kids from Korea kind of joked and hugged each other and, you know, gave each other a pound. And it was great. It was great. Like, I always loved the Little League World Series. It was a lot of fun this year, like every other year.
But kudos, it was awesome. And great stories, right, with, you know, the Pennsylvania team with Monet Davis, the Nevada team with the great hitting, some of the other teams, all the personality, the Japan squad who beat – Nevada in the third place game, so kudos to Japan for coming in third, and they were impressive. So a lot of great performances, but shout out to South Korea, undefeated, and they win the Little League World Series. Next up on the agenda, Ray, we finally have a squad of 12 young men to root for the FIBA World Cup for the rest of this month coming up, and in September for USA Basketball going to Spain. The last four cuts. Yeah. And the last four cuts, obviously Damian Lillard, who I guess they decided to keep one extra big, Plumlee, in Lillard's cut. And he said it kind of fueled him. He's like, you know, I'm going to show everybody I should have been on this team. They cut Chandler Parsons, Kyle Korver, and who was the fourth guy? Another one of the guards, I believe it was. So, you know, I like the team. I think Anthony Davis and Derrick Rose and Harden will be the big three for us. We'll see how much Drummond and Plumlee play. I think Cousins will do good. But you know who the biggest winner is? It's players like Gay and Cousins and the Sacramento Kings, because these guys, I think, Ray, in international play and potentially winning a gold medal, I think they're going to learn how to win, and that will benefit the Sacramento Kings tremendously. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sacramento needs a little bit of that, because it's been about 10 years since they had, a little more even, since they had Lottie Divot and Mike Bibby and Chris Webber and Doug Christie and all these guys.
Stojakovic.
Peja, that's right.
Yeah.
They had all these guys, and suddenly it all fell apart. Do you remember a franchise that was so good for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, and then suddenly, poof, it all went away? And not only that, but the guys they were drafted, they just couldn't build a nucleus, and the team was going to be relocated. And they need Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins to come back with this experience, whether they win the gold or not, but just to come back and be more professional, be better, be leaders. And really, you know, I hate to see Sacramento down on its luck for this long. So I want to see them turn it around, and it would be great for them if their two stars come back and really, you know, I don't want to say turn their careers around, because they're both, you know, tremendous talent.
Tremendous.
Yeah, they're both very productive. But can they be the anchors of a winning team in the West? Because, you know, the West is brutal.
West is brutal, but you got to be excited. They traded for Darren Collison, so they have a new point guard. Your boy Ben McLemore looks like he's ready to turn the corner and finally develop. They draft Nick Stauskas. They bring back the veteran Carl Landry. Jason Thompson's still there. So I think this team has really got a lot of tools and weapons. And with Jason Terry, still a veteran scorer off the bench, I think they're going to be okay, led by Boogie Cousins and Rudy Gay, who are, you know, both of them over 20 a year last year, 20 points. So we know they're professional scorers. So finally, I got to ask you, the Kevin Love deal goes down and, you know, Minnesota finally, you know, decides, hey, we're going to keep Bennett, which might turn out to be smart to get, you know, rid of the two guys we spoke about, Chavet and Butte. So do you think, as it's all said and done, that Minnesota sort of maxed out considering the best that they could, and your boy Kevin Love is number zero, agent zero as the Cavaliers?
So I think the Minnesota Timberwolves got the best deal they could. I really think they did fine because they knew Love wasn't coming back. So they could have tried to trade him in February, but I think that this, what they got, the compensation in return, especially when you throw in Thaddeus Young, they did fine. They did great. Think about it. You get two number one overall picks. Now, one has been a disappointment in Anthony Bennett. One is a TBD in Andrew Wiggins. Hasn't played at all. But to get two number one overalls plus a productive swingman in Thaddeus Young, knowing that Kevin Love wasn't going to re-sign, I think they did great. The minute they couldn't get Klay Thompson out of Golden State, then the next best offer, which I think in retrospect is probably the best offer because of the youth, because Thaddeus Young came out young out of Georgia Tech. So they're all young, Bennett, Wiggins, and
he's
Thaddeus
so proven. You know, he's a solid player.
They did great. They did great. And I would have tried to get a big man out of Cleveland, like a Tristan Thompson. I mean, I know Anthony Bennett is technically a four, but I would have tried to get a little bit more size because in Kevin Love, you're losing the league's best rebounder or, you know, top two or three rebounder. So they're going to be suffering a little bit on the boards, but they get a lot younger and a lot more athletic. Because you add three guys to the roster that are between 20
and 25.
But I think
they do have some size. Remember, they still have our boy Turioff is there, Gorgui Dieng from Louisville, and Pekovic. So they've got some bigs. So it's going to be fascinating. And like we said, maybe Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, maybe these guys start to develop. Kudos to them. But this is what I want to ask you. It looks as if there's a battle, right? Obviously, LeBron leaves, goes to Miami, comes back. But there's a battle. It looks like Miami and Cleveland are trying to battle for a potential big man who might turn his career around if he's healthy, Emeka Okafor. Where do you think he should sign? And if he signs with Cleveland, that would be big for them.
Oh, my. Because he gives Cleveland what they don't really have because they don't really have a shot blocker. I mean, they have some rebounders. They have a little bit of size, but Emeka Okafor is a shot blocker, first and foremost.
Right, and Varejão doesn't do that, exactly.
Right, Varejão gives you rebounds, but he won't block any shots, right? Nobody's intimidated to come down a lane, you know, Andy Varejão. And Emeka Okafor gives you that. So he'd be perfect for them. I think he'd be perfect for anybody as a, you know, he's sort of like the Marcus Camby of you know, of today's era, sort of that weak side block shot post defender. So I like him a lot. I like Emeka Okafor as a role player, right? He's not, remember, Emeka Okafor was the number two overall pick to Dwight Howard, so he's certainly not Dwight Howard. And Orlando obviously made the right decision taking Howard, but I think he's a productive player when he's healthy. He's still, you know, he's still a force to contend with. He's still a 10 to 12 points, you know, 8 to 10 rebounds and two block shots a game. In this day and age where there are very few true big men, that's productive. I like that.
Definitely. So before we get to the NFL real quick, I mean, on Friday's show, we'll, you know, get into the U.S. Open, which started today, and we'll, you know, get back to the MLB playoff race. I just want to say two things. Our Yankees are playing pretty good, and Oakland A's against the Angels, Ray, pretty good, 2 out of 3. So, and they got 7 more to play each other. So that'll be interesting to see how it all, you know, starts to pan out in the baseball race.
Yeah, Oakland took over first place for a minute, and then the Angels won the third game of the 3-game series. So the Angels are now up by half a game. So that will be a great race. And like you said, seven games left in the next, what, 3-4 weeks. That's great. So I love it. I love the uneven schedule. This is when it pays itself for the fans. This is where it pays off for the fans. And you may even have a new rivalry there. Oakland and L.A. has always been a rivalry. But now in baseball with the Angels and A's being good, and why not? It looks like both teams will be good for a while. So this looks like one of the new rivalries in baseball.
Definitely. So before we talk about some of the games and some of the players in preseason week three and 10 days, Ray, from the start of the NFL season, it's amazing. Let's talk about these suspensions and these injuries. There's a whole gamut. Number one, Vikings decided on Matt Castle, which was the right choice. He played well. But I got to say, Bridgewater, to start a quarterback, but Bridgewater, out of all the rookies, right behind Bortles, right behind Bridgewater, Bridgewater was very impressive in preseason. So you got that sort of settled, and they both played well. So that's great for the Vikings, right, to have two good quarterbacks looking good.
Sure.
Where in Cleveland, you know, you don't really have either looking too well. Let me ask you this. What's going to go on in D.C.? Merriweather suspended or has to sit two games. RG3 is not looking too good. Everybody's, you know, Joe Theismann comes out strong. Oh, Cousins would have, you know, should win the job. And if there was a, you know, a battle, he'd win it. But let's be honest, Cousins, he played last year, had a good moments against the Falcons, but besides that, wasn't so great. 4 touchdowns, I think 7 or 9 interceptions. And right now, preseason, yeah, he looks good, but he's playing against backups. So I don't think that's fair to RG3. RG3 is learning the offense, trying to play more in a pocket. What do you think that he's just over-scrutinized and criticized too much, RG3? I mean, I know he brings some of it on himself, but I think it's too much for me. It's just ridiculous. This is preseason.
Yeah, I think he's a function of his own media machine, and you would think the coaches could look through that, but sometimes coaches are influenced by that as well. Look, there's a reason why RG3 was a Heisman Trophy winner and a
number two overall pick.
And Kirk Cousins was a third round pick. He was a very solid player at Michigan State, but nobody ever projected him to be, you know, a star in the NFL, which is not to say that should stop you, right? Tom Brady was a number six round pick, end of the sixth round. But RG3 is special. I think Kirk Cousins is solid, and Kirk Cousins might be one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league, but RG3 is special. To be healthy, he just needs to be comfortable in a system, and he just needs to have chemistry with his coordinators and also his players, his offensive line and his receivers, and he's got some great tight ends, and he's got a nice running back and you know, talent at the wide receivers. Got to get DeSean Jackson. And he's just got to be a point guard, right?
Just be a point guard. Just be a distributor.
Yeah, he's the real deal. So I'm not worried. I think in the long run, as long as those knees can stay healthy, I think Washington is just calm down. Everybody in D.C., calm down. And by the way, I don't think the NFC East is that good. Historically, NFC East has been very, very tough. But you look at the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles, and you got to think to yourself, all right, even if we go 2-2, 2-3 in our first 5 games, we still have a chance to win a division because nobody's running away with the NFC East. Dallas is terrible. The Giants are okay. And Philly, you know, they got that scientist down there in Philly trying to make that. They do, and they're good. But I still don't think they're not a 12-4 team. I mean, maybe they're 10-6. Maybe they're 9-7. So we'll talk about our pro football preview in a couple of weeks. But
yeah, the day after.
Don't panic in Washington is what I'm saying. Yeah. All of you listeners in D.C., don't panic. The Redskins are fine, and RG3 is your man.
I want to ask you where they might need to panic. Now, before we get to the negative, the positive in St. Louis is there's a young man who just wants to be known as a football player. And, Ray, I think he might have earned a spot on the team in Michael Sam. Got 2 sacks on Johnny Manziel. They joked that Twitter would collapse. You know, he did a little, you know, Manziel money sign. But Michael Sam, in a league where you got to get to the quarterback, he's been getting to the quarterback in preseason, a lot of hurries, some sack, 3 sacks, and the Rams beat Cleveland 33-14. And I got to say, Michael Sam is you know, if they keep 9 or 11 defensive linemen, I think he's gotten a roster spot. I think he's definitely earned one. I really believe that.
You know, we talked about this off air. When you're the SEC, as in Southeastern Conference, as in S, like, what do they have, 8 conferences in the NFL? So the SEC is like the 9th conference.
Division.
It's like the AFC West-West or the NFC East-West or something like that. So if you're the best defensive player, along with the kid from Alabama, right, if you're the co-defensive player of the year in the Southeastern Conference, you're an NFL prospect. And I don't care what anybody says, you need to make an NFL roster. Not only that, but you need to play for at least 2 or 3 years until it's proven that you can't play at that level. And I understand he's a tweener, and I understand he's too big to play on special teams, and he's not big enough to be a hand-on-the-ground, you know, strictly pass rusher. I get all that, but he's a football player. And I hate to go back to, you know, Herm Edwards and some of these guys on the inside. He plays football. The guy is a football player. He's the Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year. And he's got a motor. So yeah. So this guy needs to make the team, and I think he'll make the team. And not only just for show. I mean, he's a player. He can
contribute. No, and you saw that. I mean, he, you know, playing against the people who he's playing against, he looked like he should have been playing maybe first string. Because he stood out. I mean, he definitely stood out. Kudos to him. So the sad story is, and we'll start to get into the game, but let's look at these injuries. Sam Bradford, same knee, torn ACL. I think with the money that he's owed, $16 million next year, and the roster bonus of $13 million, I think we saw his last snap in St. Louis. I think Sam Bradford's career as a Ram is done. And I think it's kind of sad. Sean Hill, Yo Terps, is going to take over. Do the Rams try to make a trade? Do they go for a Ryan Mallett, a Kirk Cousins, a Mark Sanchez? What do you think the Rams do, or do they just sort of stay the ship and run its course and go with Sean Hill as a quarterback?
The problem is the neighborhood they play in. So remember that last year the Arizona Cardinals were 10-6 and didn't make the division. Didn't make the playoffs. So
yeah.
having that's not even to mention, you know, the two better teams, Seattle and San Francisco.
And they might have been the third best team in NFC last year.
Yeah. So I wouldn't waste draft picks and do all that this year, because you got to figure San Francisco is still in the middle of that. They've been the best team in the NFL last 3 years. So you got to think they're still in that 5-year window. And I got to think the Seahawks are still in that 5-year window. You got to think Green Bay is Chicago. I don't think they make the playoffs either way.
Saints,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't burn draft picks. And
right.
It depends
and
on
so
the
you
price,
just,
obviously,
you,
right?
You want to go draft somebody next year. First round of the Rams draft
so.
The quarterback next year, basically?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Maybe
if
they get a
Huntley
or Mariota or somebody. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's where we're at with them.
They'll probably be, you know, between now with no quarterback, they could be between 6-8 and 8-8, right? I think they're somewhere in that range, 6-7 wins maybe. They'll get them middle of the first round.
I think
8-8
would be a good season for them.
Excellent, given that
their
starting
schedule,
quarterback went down.
Because they play the AFC West, so you know the Chargers are improved. The Raiders are looking better. The Chiefs might drop down a little, but they're a solid team. And then the Broncos. So that's 4 tough games against the AFC West, plus their own division. So, yeah. And I think, and they play the NFC East, you know, so they got to battle the Eagles. The other games they might win, but they battle with the Eagles and some of those teams. So, you know, I think that's the situation. I think you're right. I got to ask you this, though. When you look around week 3 in the NFL, and I just want to focus on this one game because there's a story coming out that tonight Lovie Smith is going to interview and give a talk and maybe a tryout to Richie Incognito. Tampa Bay 22-14 over Buffalo, but their offensive line in the first team, I'm sorry, 27-14, their, you know, Josh McCown, you know, was getting pressured, their guards, none of them are looking good. What do you think about them potentially signing Incognito? And we don't know sort of where he is mentally right now. But as Lovie said, I believe in second chances. So, you know, good for Lovie. What would you do? Would you bring him to your locker room?
Third, fourth chances.
Yeah, well, this is like this guy's fifth chance, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Coaches love him. because on the field he is
exactly that
kind of tone-setting offensive lineman that these guys want.
Yeah.
So if your locker room can deal with him and the baggage that he brings, and you've got some team leaders in there, and you've got coaches that can, you know, set the tone on defense and for the whole team, he'll get a job. I told you, he'll get a job before Jonathan Martin gets a job.
Well, Jonathan Martin's was playing for the Niners. So.
No, I know, because this was his college coach, right? That was a specific, you know, situation where Harbaugh knew him and obviously was his guy, and Harbaugh's an offensive guy. But I thought that Incognito would get right back into the NFL, because the NFL, as much as we, you know, hate to say it, is all about bang on your chest, machismo, let's do it. I'm tougher than you. And
right, but he
nobody
can play, though. Be fair. He can play.
No, he can play.
He could play.
No, it starts with having the ability to play, for sure. I'm not degrading his skills, right? But I have no doubt that he'll make his way back into the NFL.
So you think Lovie would I think Lovie might be the right coach or the right place for him. I don't like it in the sense of McCown being the first year, like, official starter with a new team. But, you know, you got to protect him up the middle. And, you know, right there with your centers and your guards, it's really important. Now, another report, your boy Matt Schaub, you know, the Raiders lost to Green Bay. So sad to see, we got to say, B.J. Raji out for the season. That's really rough for Green Bay and their defensive line. Raji's been a stud for years. Matt Schaub's elbow's having some issues. Derek Carr's looked actually pretty good. What's going to happen in Oakland? And will Schaub start or start for long? What do you think?
I think it's Schaub's job to lose. I think he's still got something left in the tank, even though Carr looks okay. They brought Schaub in to start. They didn't bring him in really to mentor. I mean, they'll take the mentoring too, but I don't think they thought that anybody they draft, even in the first round, would start. So I think unless it's physical Schaub, that's his job to lose. Also, I don't know if we talked about this, but the Vikings, you know, in a close battle went for sure.
And
the Redskins, by the way, I don't know if we talked about this, but the Redskins, Brandon Merriweather suspended for 2 games.
Yeah, no, I mentioned that. I said it. Yep.
Helmet to helmet. Yeah, for sure. So,
what about Cam Newton, though? This is the Patriots looked really good. Yeah, Cam Newton with the ribs, so he'll probably be ready for week 1. Some people say maybe they should just sit him and get him really healthy for week 2, but I don't know. I mean, look, I'll tell you like this. With not having any receivers and just Kelvin Benjamin, you know, it's hard in fantasy football, right? Everything goes back to fantasy football, and it'll be really big on Ray and Tate today this year. We'll give you a lot more fantasy talk. I don't know if you could take a chance in drafting Cam Newton, you know? I mean, they've taken all his weapons.
I can't draft him. You also want to – now that he's got rib problems, you want to protect him. He doesn't want to run as much. He might not give you as many rushing touchdowns. I can't mess with him. By the way, what are your Pittsburgh Steelers going to do with Blount and Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, look, it's looking – I think what's going to happen is Bell will be suspended week 1 and Blount will be suspended week 2. I think, you know, the Steelers will sort of take care of it like that. I think that's probably what's going to go down, and it's smart, and it, you know, doesn't, you know, hurt the rest of the team and the players, and, you know, just gives Dre Archer a little bit more carries the first couple of weeks and see what he can do and help. But I think these guys are going to be very, you know, integral part of the Steelers team. They want to get back to, you know, pounding a little bit more and to protect Ben. You know, we lose Emmanuel Sanders, bring in Lance Moore and Darius Heyward-Bey, yo Terps. And I think the running game, and Blount was good with the Patriots last year. I think Bell and Blount are going to be the B&B boys. So, but, you know, you got to take care of business. They did the wrong thing. I got to ask you this. The Giants finally get a touchdown in preseason. Ironically enough, everybody's been killing them, and rightly so. They haven't looked too good in preseason. They beat the Jets 35-24. But the Giants quite has kept their 4-0. I mean, it doesn't mean anything because it's preseason, but I just think it's kind of funny, and it shows you how wins and losses in preseason really mean nothing because, you know, your first unit doesn't play that much. So they play in week three. They didn't even look that good. They finally get a touchdown, though, but the Giants still 4-0 maybe in preseason. So that's kind of funny to me, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody else stand out to you in week three? Any players that you're like, wow, okay? Or anybody stand out in a bad way? You know, the Niners offense still looks bad, too.
So the enigma to me is the Niners offense. I don't see what's the problem. I mean, they did lose an offensive lineman in Alex Boone, but
right, holding out.
You know, Kaepernick is still Kaepernick, and you know, Davis, the running game, Crabtree, you know, everybody did.
They have more receivers, more weapons, right?
Yeah, I don't see why they're this bad. So this bothers me a little bit. And a guy you mentioned before, he might have to move up my fantasy roster. Is this kid Calvin Benjamin? Because he's big.
He will be number one.
And Cam Newton has to throw to somebody. And
yes, he does.
This guy is going to get all the targets so at the wide receiver position. So he's moving up my draft board. I got to really reconsider where I'm going to draft him if he's available.
What do you think about the Falcons? They lose 24-17 to the Tennessee Titans. You know, everybody's watching Hard Knocks. They had Sam Baker out, and they lost the linebacker early on, Weatherspoon. They're talking about being tougher, but they really don't look like there's something still missing from this team, and I don't know what it is. Obviously, Julio and Roddy are back. I like getting Freeman from Florida State, the running back, help play with Steven Jackson if Steven can stay healthy. But what are your thoughts on the Falcons?
You know, I hate to say it because I don't know him personally, but I feel as if this is Matt Ryan's team to take over. And it's either a middle linebacker, like a Ray Lewis type on defense, or it's your quarterback on offense. Those are the two biggest candidates to take over a team that – frankly, was supposed to go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, was supposed to go to the Super Bowl last year, and has kind of plateaued. Not kind of. They've plateaued, and now they're on the backside going down. So I feel as if they need a leader to stand up and say, no more excuses. We got to be tougher. We got to be, you know, we just have to take this division and you know, execute and live up to our potential because we were – quite close to being a Super Bowl team 2 years ago. So I don't know. And Tony Gonzalez is gone, so he's kind of the safety blanket. He's like his Linus's, you know, blanket. But
yeah.
I don't know what you do in Atlanta. I don't know. Maybe they need to bring in a guy, a wily veteran that has been known to be, you know, a good locker room guy, a leader.
I thought they would have signed Jonathan Vilma, and I thought that would be a good signing, you know, somebody who really – Vilma's
like,
so
you know,
respected.
Like a London Fletcher type. Yeah, Jonathan Vilma, London Fletcher. One of those type of guys, just that veteran linebacker that's just tough, that gives you that toughness and holds everybody accountable.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
Yeah. Well, I know what we got to do. Let's take a quick break, come back with our 2014 college football preview. Ray and Ted.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Pablo.
I'm giving you some burn. Okay.
I love it. Great stand-up comic. Friend to the show, him and Sean Savoy. So let's jump into it, man. Let's go through the five major conferences, college football. Start with the ACC. We're going to give you a little bit of everything, Ray and Tay, throwing our predictions out there on the line. It's going to be a great season. We'll talk about the big game on Thursday night, which is South Carolina, Texas A&M, the only real ranked game. Friday we'll preview the Saturday games. But ACC, Ray, I'm going to tell you right now, I think Duke will be improved. Louisville's in there now. We'll see if, you know, Syracuse is going to make moves in ACC, NC State, but it all comes down to Florida State will be the clear cut because Clemson lost a lot of talent. not just Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins, but I think Florida State will run away, and I'd be shocked if they lost the game this season at all, maybe to Florida, but they will be my ACC winner, Florida State.
Yeah, I can't see anybody really giving Florida State a run for the money in the ACC. I mean, you figure Virginia Tech, Clemson, but I just don't see anybody really challenging Florida State. They may lose a game, but I don't think they'll lose the conference. I think they're in fact going to the playoffs, to the the
right.
Final Four. So
they
got to
survive
week
one against Oklahoma State, though.
But that's out of the conference, right? So
that may
hurt them in the national ranking, but it won't hurt them in the AFC, in the ACC. So I got to agree. I got to think Florida State.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's clear cut. Be interesting to see, how the rest of the teams in that conference play, in terms of how weak or strong the conference winds up looking throughout the season. And the conference is, lost Maryland. We're in the Big Ten now, and Louisville has moved in there. So the Big Ten, the Braxton Miller injury, Ray, it really switched things for me. I was already debating because of how Michigan State plays defense and then them finding a quarterback in Cook. And now, for me, it's clear cut. I think Michigan State, followed by probably Wisconsin, I think, and Ohio State will be, there. They might have one or two losses, but Michigan State is going to be the clear-cut winner to me in the Big Ten. I like the Spartans.
Yeah, once Braxton Miller went down, and they say he might come back towards the end of the season, but effectively he's done for the season in my book. But that really dropped Ohio State, and I think that Urban is going to coach his butt off, but that Michigan State team is too good, and their defense is too good, and now that they've been together, they've got juniors and seniors on that squad. I like Sparty. I like the Spartans. I think they're going to go far as well. So I like them to go win that Big Ten.
Hey, what would be funny though? Don't sleep on Wisconsin brings back four of the offensive linemen and Melvin Gordon. If they could ever get the momentum, beat LSU week one and get that confidence, Wisconsin could be dangerous, and Melvin Gordon could be a Heisman Trophy candidate at him and Gurley at running back. So we'll see with that. Now the Big 12, Ray. A lot of talented teams, a lot of offense, Oklahoma State, Baylor, some of these other teams. Nobody plays defense in this conference. But I got to go with Oklahoma. I think Trevor Knight is ready. I think the coaching staff is ready. I think their defense, I think the confidence of beating Alabama from last year will spill over. And I think with expectations, which they haven't played well in the last couple of seasons with expectations on them, I think this year Oklahoma will. And I think they'll be the Big 12 champs.
Like you said, nobody plays defense in that conference. So I'm going to go with the best offensive team. And I'm going to say that Bryce Petty and Baylor – shock the Big 12 and go out and win that conference over Oklahoma. So I like him on a national scale, and I also like him to win the Big 12.
Okay.
So look for my Baylor Bears.
Yeah, your Baylor Bears, with the funky jerseys. You got to like that. So going to the Pac-12 out here with me in Arizona, I like U of A. I like Arizona State, with Taylor Kelly. I think Stanford's going to be tough. I think Oregon's going to be deadly with Mariota being healthy. But I just like Mora, the players he's been getting, the system he's been putting in, and Brett Hundley. And I think he's finally going to have a better offensive line. He's got talent around him. They've got a lot of tough games in the conference and road games and all that. But I think UCLA will be the Pac-12 champs.
Wow. So the Pac-12 has 10 returning quarterbacks on the 12 teams.
Yeah.
So
that could be the best conference.
Nice.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of great quarterback play coming out of that conference. I know you like UCLA. I really like Oregon, and I really like Marcus Mariota. But you know what? I'm going to go with our boy, a friend to the show, the Grinder, the guy who's building a program and keeps building and building and building.
Sure.
He'll win himself a national championship. He'll bring a national championship
eventually
to Stanford if he stays there eventually. I'm going with Stanford. I'm going with Stanford to win that Pac-12.
You believe in Hogan, huh? You think Hogan's heroes? Hogan could step up this year?
I think he can do it. I think with that defense and I think with that ball control, I think he can do it. The toughest matchup is probably not even Brett Hundley and UCLA. It's probably Marcus Mariota and Oregon.
Yeah.
But I like them. I like Stanford. I like Stanford to win that conference.
Okay. That, you know, and it's going to be, I mean, there's really like four or five teams that are so loaded. They're going to get a lot of bowl games this year, and they'll probably have about five teams in the top 25. They're going to be tough, right behind the SEC. So this one was hard for me. The SEC, the ninth division. I like that. We got to start hashtagging that, Ray. You get props for that one. The ninth division in the NFL, the SEC. I'm taking Alabama to win cautiously. I mean, obviously the transfer from Florida State, Coker's got to step up, but I think the talent around him, Yeldon and Norwood and the defense, the offensive line. But my problem is I am really enjoying and thinking that the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be something to deal with. I think Todd Gurley could be a Heisman winner. They're going to be tough. I think South Carolina is going to be deadly, even though they lost Connor Shaw and our boy Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, Florida should be back. It's going to be a heck of a conference. Nick Marshall and Auburn, I like them. But I'm going with Bama to win the Southeast Conference.
I got to agree with that. Amari Cooper still there. Kirby Smart still there. The other thing to note is that they have a pretty easy September. They don't have a hard game until October 4th.
I got your boy Kiffin, Lane Kiffin
on the
there,
road.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Lizzie Lane. And by the way, the Auburn-Alabama game is at Alabama this year. It's in Tuscaloosa. So if you thought that Alabama can beat them on that revenge game in Tuscaloosa, even with Marshall, I don't think so. I got to go with Alabama. So I like Alabama winning the SEC.
Yeah. So when we look at, you know, the different conferences and different winners, I think, you know, next we should probably either give everybody our Final Four and champion or our final top 10. Let's go with the Final Four. I think that this is going to be fascinating with the playoff. You know, you don't know how they're going to set it up with the bowls. Obviously, one plays four, one plays three. I think you're going to see Florida State playing UCLA. Could be Michigan State, but I'll just say UCLA for now. Either way, Florida State will win that game. And then I have Alabama versus Michigan State. So those are my final four, Florida State, UCLA, Bama, and Michigan State. And then my champion will be Florida State over Alabama. And Jameis Winston gets the repeat. I just think his leadership, and I just think the talent that Jimbo Fisher has there, they put a lot of guys to the pros, but they still got a lot of guys there. And I love that Bama team, but I think Florida State's they're going on a little run here. And I think they'll take advantage of it with a great coach.
Wow, so you got famous Jameis going back-to-back.
Back-to-back, belly-to-belly.
Wow, you're putting him up there in rare air.
Rare air.
Winning two national champions back-to-back.
But I don't think he'll go back-to-back in the Heisman, but I'll tell you that later. So go ahead, break down your Final Four and your chair.
All right, so my Final Four, very similar, but I have Florida State playing Michigan State, and then I have Alabama and Stanford. I think Alabama has too much for Stanford on a neutral field. I think they're just too good. And you know what? I think that defense of D'Antonio is going to stymie Florida State. And I think Michigan State beats Florida State. They play Alabama, and again, on a neutral field, I like Alabama. I think you give Nick Saban in a playoff scenario – especially because they were disappointed. They weren't as hungry this year going for their back-to-back-to-back national champion.
He's focused.
So I like Alabama over Michigan State for the national championship.
Okay. Now for the Heisman. I think Winston will be there. He'll come to New York. I think he'll probably have a top three finish. I think Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon are going to get a lot of votes, along with Mariota. Those will be my final five, those four I mentioned. But the winner will be the quarterback from UCLA, Brett Hundley. I think this kid is ready to explode, and I think this is his year and probably might lead him to being a number one or two pick, whether you go with him or Winston and Mariota. I mean, you got a lot of star quarterbacks. And I know you like your boy Bryce Petty in there, too. He'll be there. Maybe the New York, they bring six. But Hundley, to me, gets the Heisman.
So that's a great pick, and I like Brett Hundley, and he might be the most classic NFL prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, am going with a different Heisman Trophy winner. And like we said, in his conference, they don't play any D. So you got to figure he'll have huge numbers. And if my prediction holds and they win that conference, so if you go 9-3, 10-2 in that conference and you put up monster stats and the other players, you know, beat up on each other and steal votes from each other and have two or three bad games in the middle of a 12-game season, you know, or 11, 12-game season before they vote for the Heisman, I like Bryce Petty. I think he's going to put up tremendous numbers at Baylor. I think he's going to have decent enough competition where he doesn't, you know, get knocked for it, but not enough defense where he's not going to put up tremendous offensive stats. So
right.
I like Baylor to win the conference, and I like Bryce Petty to win the Heisman.
Bryce, you going Bryce Boogie? Bryce Boogie Petty?
Petty. Don't be Petty.
Don't be Petty. You know what? Listen, the kid has got the talent, without question. Baylor, that defense, Ray, they really kill me. And I know nobody plays D in that conference, but I just don't know between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I just don't know if he can pull it out. But that's a good pick. It's definitely a good pick. He's got the talent. So let's end it strong with our final top 10. I'll tell you this. This was hard to figure out and to predict. Well, I'll go backwards from 10 to 1. Obviously, you know my 1 as far as state because they're the champs. But I'll tell you this. The three teams that I didn't put in, Baylor, Ohio State, and LSU, I think will be right outside. It's like 11, 12, and 13. But at number 10, I got Wisconsin. Like I said, I like, you know, their team. Auburn, Nick Marshall, that SEC is going to be tough. They'll have a bunch of teams in the top 25. I got them 9. Number 8, I got South Carolina. I think they're going to be really tough. They're going to probably win their bowl game. Might only have 1 or 2 losses. 7, I have Oregon. Mariota, I just think that they'll probably either lose to Stanford or lose in the Pac-12 championship, but they're going to be impressive this year too. But I got them at 7. 6, I got Oklahoma. I think they're going to go far, but they're just going to fall a little bit short. Same thing with the Georgia Bulldogs. Probably lose the SEC championship, but I love Georgia, and they could easily win the whole thing. Number 4, Michigan State. I love them. The defense, we'll see how the running game holds up, but I like the quarterback. Cook is getting better, and like you said, Antonio's defense, they're dangerous. Still got, even though they lost Denard, Darquez, they still got good secondary, solid hitters. UCLA. Got them at 3, Bama at 2, and Florida State, number 1. And Winston probably got, I'll say Winston and the Heisman, he'll come 3rd. But I got Florida State, final number 1 champs. That's my top 10.
Well, I have something similar. I actually put down my top 10 end of the regular season, but obviously I have Alabama.
Yeah, no, that's
winning.
What this is, the final end of the regular season.
No, but I did an end of the regular season before the bowls. So I have Alabama actually winning the whole thing. So they obviously have to be number 1 for me. But,
All right,
top 10. The two that I really don't know where to place and I don't know what to think about them are going to be, or several, Ohio State, Clemson, and UCLA. I'm still not sure what to do with those teams, maybe LSU. But they'll be tough. They'll be tough to keep out of the top 10. But right now I had to keep them out of the top 10. So for
LSU, aren't you worried about LSU's offense? With the great running game and defense.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That Miles has been, you know, ever since Jamarcus Russell left, he's been having some trouble on offense.
Yeah, getting a real quarterback.
But, so I have your Oklahoma Sooners at number 10. I got Auburn at number 9. Another SEC team with the old ball coach, South Carolina, at 8. Oregon, I think they lose to Stanford, so they end up being 7. I got Bryce Petty and my Baylor Bears at 6. I have UCLA at 5. I have Michigan State Michigan State should move up to 2. So I have Stanford at 3, Florida State. No, Stanford 4. At 4, Florida State at 3, Michigan State at 2, and Alabama at number 1.
Wow. It's gone. You know what? This is going to be one of those, because of the playoff, I think the season has a lot of juice. Obviously, everything really starts on Saturday, but Thursday we've got a couple of games. The only real ranked game is Texas A&M without Johnny Manziel, starting it off in South Carolina. You have Vanderbilt, Temple, Rutgers against Washington State. See how Rutgers and Maryland do in the Big Ten. So let's just talk about that one game. What do you think with South Carolina, Texas A&M, number 21 A&M at South Carolina? I got to say, I think Carolina kind of puts their stamp to show how tough they're actually going to be. And, you know, Coach Sunland's going to be wishing he had the money Manziel. I look for South Carolina to win something like 30-17 against Texas A&M.
Yeah, I like that. I think A&M is going to have a hard time recovering from losing all those number one draft picks that they lost. Obviously, the quarterback, receiver, offensive line, a little bit of departure on defense. So I agree. I think South Carolina puts it on them. I think they put them on them even more extreme. I think it'll be something like 37-13.
Yeah, you're right. They're sort of like the Big 12 teams, right? Not much defense. He's got a good linebacker, but, you know, not too much defense. And I think they're going to miss Mike Evans, who could be a stud in the NFL, might even be like Rookie of the Year. So that's going to be something to look for, how good of a coaching job he does. I'm interested to see Texas. When you look at sleepers, Ray, you know, I don't know what you think about Boise State, how Texas plays this year, Louisville in the ACC. Hey, I got to give a shout out to
keep your eye
Marshall.
Off of Marshall.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to my Terps. You know, they're not super talented, but it's their first time in the Big Ten, and you know they played 12 games. UCF, West Virginia, you know, and 9 games in the Big Ten. I'd like to see them go 4-5 in the Big Ten. And I think my Terps, you know, could get a 7-6 type season, which would be good, and go to a bowl game. So I'm looking for that. Not 6-7, 7-6, and above 500 in the vaunted Big Ten. Yo, Terps. So that's my bold prediction for the Terps. So,
all right, cool. Well, it's a great show.
Definitely, man. I'm hyped up for the season. If you just had to just throw it out there right now, something crazy, between Mariota, Winston, and Hundley, who are you picking? If, let's just say, I don't know, the Rams, you know, horrible, you know, they got to draft a quarterback, number one pick. Who would you take?
So they all are a little bit different, but they're big, they're strong. Brett Hundley might be the most prototypical of them all. I'm gonna go with the kid from UCLA.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, it's a lot of talent.
I like Mariota's playmaking. I like Jameis Winston's size.
You think they could go 1, 2, 3 in the draft? Probably not. I mean, there's going to be linemen and defensive linemen and stuff, but
I could.
And also depends on the team.
Top 5.
Okay.
I see them going 3 in the top 5. Why not?
Yeah. No, you're right about that, and it's like it is. You know, you don't know what quarterbacks get hurt in the NFL, who decides that this guy's not really ready. You know, we don't know which teams are like, you know what, we're moving in a new direction and we're going to draft a new quarterback. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. So we'll be back Friday, talk some U.S. Open, some MLB, get you ready for the fantasy football draft, NFL, because Thursday is going to be the last preseason games, right? Week 4.
Yeah, we just hope nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, and then 10 days, Ray. 10 days the season kicks off. Are you ready for the NFL to come back, baby?
I'm ready.
You're ready. All right, cool. Great show. Thanks, everybody, listening. We'll be back Friday. And, hey, thanks for talking sports with us. Talking sports with friends, Ray and Tay, today.
Out. You're out. I'm sorry.
Peace.
Damn. See? This is one of the main things I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Good versus evil. Crazy killer.
Good versus evil, which one are you? Evil versus good, what should you do? Evil versus good, what can you say? Good versus evil, what are you today?